Good morning. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers 15, let's read. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, When you enter the land where you are to live, which I am giving you, then make an offering by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering or a sacrifice to fulfill a special vow, or as a freewill offering, or in your appointed times to make a soothing aroma to the Lord from the herd or from the flock. And the one who presents his offering shall present to the Lord a grain offering of one-tenth of an ephah of fine flour mixed with one-fourth of a hin of oil, and shall prepare wine for the libation, one-fourth of a hin with the burnt offering, or for the sacrifice for each lamb. Or for a ram, you shall prepare it as a grain offering, two-tenths of an ephah of fine flour mixed with one-third of a hin of oil. And for the libation, you shall offer one-third of a hin of wine as a soothing aroma to the Lord. And when you prepare a bull as a burnt offering or a sacrifice to fulfill a special vow or for peace offerings to the Lord, then you shall offer with a bull a grain offering of three-tenths of an ephah of fine flour mixed with one-half a hin of oil. And you shall offer as a libation one half of a hin of wine, as an offering by fire, as a soothing aroma to the Lord. Thus it shall be done for each ox, or for each ram, or for each of the male lambs, or of the goats, according to the number that you prepare, so that you shall do for everyone according to their number. All who are native shall do these things in this manner, in presenting an offering by fire as a soothing aroma to the Lord. And if an alien sojourns with you, or one who may be among you throughout your generations, and he wishes to make an offering by fire as a soothing aroma to the Lord, just as you do, so he shall do. As for the assembly, there shall be one statute for you and for the alien who sojourns with you, a perpetual statute throughout your generations as you are, so shall the alien be before the Lord. There is to be one law and one ordinance for you and for the alien who sojourns with you. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, When you enter the land where I bring you, then it shall be that when you eat of the food of the land, you shall lift up an offering to the Lord. Of the first of your dough, you shall lift up a cake as an offering. As the offering of the threshing floor, you shall lift it up. From the first of your dough, you shall give to the Lord an offering throughout your generations. But when you unwittingly fail and do not observe all these commandments, which the Lord has spoken to Moses, even all that the Lord has commanded you through Moses, from the day when the Lord had gave commandment and onward throughout your generations, it shall be, if it is done unintentionally, without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one bull for a burnt offering, as a soothing aroma to the Lord, with its grain offering and its libation according to the ordinance, and one male goat for a sin offering. Then the priest shall make atonement for all the congregation of the sons of Israel, and they shall be forgiven, for it was an error, and they have brought their offering, an offering by fire to the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their error. So all the congregation of the sons of Israel will be forgiven with the alien who sojourns among them, for it happened to all the people through error. Also, if one person sins unintentionally, he shall then offer a one-year-old female goat for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement before the Lord for the person who goes astray when he sins unintentionally, making atonement for him that he may be forgiven. You shall have one law for him who does anything unintentionally for him who is native among the sons of Israel and for the alien who sojourns among them. But if the person who does anything defiantly, whether he is native or an alien, that one is blaspheming the Lord, and that person should be cut off from among his people. Because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment, that person should be completely cut off. His guilt should be upon him. Now while the sons of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering wood on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And they put him in custody because it had not been declared what should be done to him. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, the man should surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. So all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord also spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. And it shall be a tassel for you to look at, remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you have played the harlot, in order that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Amen. This part, chapter 15, this is what's known as the second priestly scroll. The first priestly scroll was chapter 5, and then the third one will be chapter 28. And so there's three specific scrolls that will dictate the observance of worship and the observance of offering when they get into the promised land. And so chapter 15, there's a little debate because the order of numbers, you know, everything is kind of, it's not necessarily out of order, but it's not chronological. And so this chapter 15 could have been given just before they go into the promised land, but most likely it's just a record they want to keep, kind of preparing them to go in. I kind of more lean toward the latter part of the explanation there. And so so the Lord speaks to Moses, and he tells him to speak to the sons of Israel, and he says, okay, when you go in the land, and then it's basically a reminder. This is really nothing new from what was given in Leviticus and even other parts of Numbers. And so it's just a reminder of, okay, this is how the order of worship needs to be set forth. And if you were here yesterday during the quiz, you'll remember the last question was, you know, which chapters really relayed the ordinance and the importance of worship. It was a Psalm, and it was Leviticus. And you'll notice, you know, I'm going to make just a note of it again. You'll notice the intricacy of, not necessarily the commandment, but the intricacy of how we should come before the Lord clean, of how we should make atonement, of how we should walk in forgiveness. And the real sincerity of our heart as we come to the Lord in respect to worship. And I think that's a point that we can't lose even now. I mean, now, you know, you don't have to bring a ram or a goat or a turtle dove or, you know, or your flax and, you know, and your oil and all these kinds of things. And so, you know, it's, you know, old covenant, new covenant and things. But yet the heart of that is still the same. That when we come before the Lord in worship, we come to the Lord in reverence. You know, we come with not necessarily a heavy heart, but we come with a heart of earnestness. And when we come, it's always, God, you know, I cleanse myself before you. I want to offer you worship that's pleasing to you. You know, typically, I mean, let's just be honest and real for a moment. Typically, when we come to church, a lot of it is about seeing our friends. Listen, nothing wrong with that, okay? A lot of it's connecting with people, our house church. Hey, how you doing? You know, listen, okay? Listen to me. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? But that shouldn't be first. That shouldn't be second, third, or fourth, or fifth either, right? It should really be about coming to God's house and worshiping the Lord. That there's this incredible reverence, and God lays out these ordinances and these commands to the Israelites to teach them what true worship really is. Jesus later on will say, you know, we worship in spirit and in truth, right? We don't worship in frivolity. In other words, it's not just about fellowship. You know, again, nothing wrong with fellowship. I hope that you come to meet your friends. I mean, one side note, I hope you have friends at church, okay? I think that's a huge thing. In other words, you've made yourself available and you open your heart up and allow people in, and so you have a relationship with people. I think that's really important. But really, the whole goal of Sabbath, and we'll talk about Sabbath kind of in a very sad story later on, is that we come to worship and honor God. And so we come to cleanse ourselves before the Lord. You know, that's why, you know, we have pre-service prayer. It's so important. It really is. It's so important to come and sit. You know, one thing that I learned from Korean church, and I learned a lot of stuff. I learned a lot of really good stuff. I learned some bad stuff too, you know, but I learned a lot of really good stuff. But one thing about Korean church, when you see our adults, when they come to church, I mean, my parents, you know, the people that, you know, when I worked at the Korean church, whenever they would come to church, I mean, they'd say quick hellos to people, but trust me, they'd walk into the sanctuary, and they would sit, and they would pray. And their first order was with the Lord. And I mean, if you know, I encourage you, if you're on vacation somewhere, go find a Korean church somewhere, right? And, you know, if you're here in Hong Kong, you come here, okay? But if you're on a holiday somewhere, go to a Korean church and just watch what they do. There's a kind of a reverence. I imagine that's happening in Chinese church as well, I hope. You know, but they come in, you know, they say hello, they park their car, they walk in, and you watch them. As soon as they step into the sanctuary, they find a seat, they close their eyes, and they pray. I learned that from my parents. I learned that from my church. You know, and then if you notice too, I mean, part of that reverence, if you ever invite a Korean over to your, like a first generation Christian Korean, you invite them over to your home, they'll come in, they'll say hello. The first thing they'll do, they'll sit down and they'll pray. And they'll pray over your house and they'll pray over them. It's something quite beautiful about that. It's this reverence, you know, of God. You know, saying hello and all that stuff is good, it's important, right? But the first order of business is with God. And I think those are rich, rich lessons that we can learn, you know, from this cloud of witnesses, you know, that surround us. And so he lays out, you know, this order of this is how you come before the Lord. And I think it's really, really important. And I think in a modern, not necessarily modern, but postmodern and in our contemporary worship environment, you know, it's very easy to lose that and just get caught up more in the vibe. And we don't want to do that. And then he goes into the law of the sojourner. And it's really interesting. You'll notice that, you know, when Peter is confronted with Cornelius, you know, really confronted by the Lord in a vision, and then Gentile inclusion is become opened up, and then the Council of Jerusalem prays and fasts and sends out Barnabas and Saul. You know, when, in the midst of when all that stuff is happening, now we see this idea, okay, yeah, you know, God's plan was Gentile inclusion. I want to encourage you, in the Old Testament, Gentile inclusion is all over the Scriptures, particularly even something like this. Now, obviously, they were not called Gentiles. In this context, they were called sojourners and foreigners, but they were non-Jews. And if you notice that constantly God is consistently making provision for foreigners to enter in into the worship of God. And he always makes a nod of that and a note that, hey, if you have a foreigner or sojourner that's with you, then they can also participate as if he is under your house. And so we can see these glimpses even in the Old Testament, you know, Old Covenant, of how God really went out of his way to include foreigners into their worship and into their reverence of the Lord. And so, I mean, and this goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, when God calls Adam out, and he chooses him amongst the people, and he says, you're going to be a great nation, and all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you. And so, obviously, when we look at this through the narrative of the Scriptures, I mean, what we're really talking about is Jesus the Christ. He is the real blessing. He is what's going to bless the nations in this regard. And so, when you look through these things, and this is one of the questions that always comes to mind, and people always say, you know, why does the God of the Old Testament seem really mean and harsh? And then the God of the New Testament, Jesus, is so nice. You know, and people have a really difficult time. You got to understand, God does everything through love. And what he's doing is his whole purpose is to preserve a nation so that his son can come forth. And so part of the preserving of the nations, you know, or preserving of the nation of Israel requires death, requires wars, requires things. And Dr. Chang, you know, we're talking and he gave this illustration. And he said, it's like, you know, if you like having part of your body amputated, if you start getting gangrene and infected, sometimes you need to cut off that limb so the rest of your body can grow. And in that same regard, sometimes things need to be cut off. That's why the whole thing of interracial marriage, even back then, obviously, you know, once Christ comes, that's no longer an issue. And so it was really about preservation, that he is trying to preserve their ways and so that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords can come through that family line. And so it's important for us to recognize this. And so he the sojourner is included in this, and then he goes off and he talks about, and don't lose sight of this, the key here is he talks about the effect of sin on a community. So if someone commits a sin and they do it like they didn't know that they were doing it, it was an accident per se, or they were doing it unconsciously or unwittingly, as the Bible tells us, he says that, okay, they need to make an atonement, but also the community itself. And this is again, this whole idea of preservation that's operating here. And we got to understand, we're not necessarily talking about like Achan, sin in the camp, even though that's part of it. But it's really more so talking about the responsibility of the community in relation to one another's worship of God. And so, and if you remember the Achan in that story, in Achan's sin, when he stole something, and we'll read it later on. And when that happens, his sin affects everybody. There's one aspect that works like that. But the other aspect here is really more dealing in numbers, dealing with the care of the community over someone that commits a sin. And it's not so much of a, you know, let's take them out, let's stone them, you know, kind of thing, even though we'll get to that later on. This is more of even the community's responsibility to make atonement, because in essence they were not their brother's keeper, and it's something quite fascinating as a nation that God would institute these kinds of rules for them, that if someone committed a sin unwittingly, still the congregation had to come and make atonement for their self, and not that they were part of that sin. You know, they're not responsible fully in one sense, but on the other sense, God says they are responsible because we ought to care and look out for one another. And there's something really quite precious about community. You know, there's really something quite precious about, man, I got your back and you got my back. You know, if I mess up, you cover me. You know what I mean? If you mess up, I'm going to cover you. And I hope and pray that would be an atmosphere that we have, you know, in our church, in relation to one another. But even in a more deeper way, I hope that you have good brothers and sisters that can really keep you accountable in that way. That we can really, really be our brother's keeper and our sister's keeper in that regard. And so he goes through this, and then he picks out one incident, and this is what's known especially in a biblical literary device, is called particularization. And so what's happening is there's a generalization that's going on, and then the writers will pick one thing, and we call it particularization. They'll pick one thing to highlight the whole of what's going on. This is a quite common use that Luke uses, but we see Moses doing the same thing. And so he's giving these guys this idea, you know, and this idea was, you know, if there's unwitting sin, then this is how you deal with it. Then at the end, when you get to 30, then there's something, if someone does it intentionally, there's consequences, and then he pinpoints one episode that highlights what he's talking about, okay, particularization. So he gets to this 32, and he says, now, the sons of Israel, see, now look what happens. Look at the scene in the community now. Before, remember, they all these things happen, and they didn't really pay much attention and whatnot. And so now they actually find a guy, and it's not like they're playing police, you know, but they're preserving the whole now. And they found this idiot who's out and in broad daylight is going out and he's picking up sticks. Now, picking up sticks is not a sin. Amen? Right? I mean, you know, you need to do that to keep warm. It's probably for cooking, you know, all kinds of things. But picking up sticks on Sabbath is a sin. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Work is not a sin. Working on the Sabbath. Did I just say that to Hong Kong people? Damn straight I did, right? I mean, let the Holy Spirit speak to us. You know, let me make a side note here. Think about this, okay? You know, Christians, we get so upset about homosexuality, right? Christians, we get so upset about people living together, you know, out of wedlock. You know, Christians get so upset, you know, about all different kinds of stuff. You know, homosexuality is not even in the Ten Commandments. You know that? People living together, it's not even in the Ten Commandments and whatnot. You know what's in the Ten Commandments? You should keep the Sabbath day holy. And we so easily break the commandments, and we get so fired up about all these other sins. There's sins too, okay? So I don't want to get you out, but I just want to give you a frame of reference for us to think about this a little bit more. And so here's this guy that he goes off, and really this idea of this man that's doing this is at the heart of it. What really is he not only neglected the Sabbath, he didn't prepare himself for Sabbath. I mean, everyone knows Sabbath is coming, you know, Friday night. And what you do is you prepare yourself before. And so you would gather all the sticks. This guy did not prepare himself for worship. And so he goes out, and here he is, broad daylight. He's picking up sticks. He's taking care of his business. And so they gather him up and says, oh, no, we're not going to do that. And they bring him to Moses and Aaron. And what does God say? Take him out and stone him. Right, he has committed sin. Again, it's dealing with this whole issue of preservation, and it's quite amazing how this works. You know. Listen, okay. When it comes to Sabbath, right? I know you may think that you need to work. You don't. Ultimately, it's a trust thing. Do you trust God with your promotion and, you know, all these kinds of things, or, you know, with your work, or do you just trust in yourself and your own abilities and all these kinds of stuff? I know a lot of times it's not so black and white, but man, let the Lord speak to you. One of our brothers at church, man, I have so much respect for Chris, you know, Chris Lee in Beijing. I mean, I got so much respect for that guy. And, you know, he's a first-year lawyer, goes to his bosses, and he says, you know what, I'll work like crazy Monday through Saturday. I'm going to work like a dog, but Sunday is my Sabbath, you know, and this is my time to be with my family and my church. I mean, you know, really, what are his Jewish bosses going to say at the end of the day? I mean, give me a break, right? You know, and a Christian pulls the Sabbath trump card on them. Of course, and Chris works his butt off Monday through Saturday, right? And Sunday is for his family and for the Lord. It's much respect, man. And God's blessed him in his work. I mean, absolutely blessed him. Right? I mean, let the Holy Spirit speak to us in that regard, especially regard to Sabbath, you know, before the Lord. All right? Let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us about the joy, the carefulness of worshiping God. The attention to detail that God asked the Israelites to walk in. We ought not to walk into God's house frivolously. We should prepare ourselves. And really, the preparing ourselves, it doesn't happen Sunday morning. It happens throughout the whole week. That when we come together, it's an overflow of God working in us throughout this time. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. Huh? Let's pray. Thank you. Let's commit ourselves to reverence once again. You know, we don't have to be fearful of the Lord, but let's reverence Him again. You know, what I pray all the time for our church is that whenever we come into worship, it could be a prayer meeting or a Sunday service or a house church meeting, that there will always be a sense of the holy on us. Always a sense of the holy. Let's pray that for ourselves. Lord, let there be a knowledge of the holy, of the holiness of God, the holiness of your stuff, people, things, and that we just reverence you, respect you, God, in such a high way. And let's ask God to just really move in our hearts, and just that reverence would just really flow, that we'd be afraid to sin because of God's holiness. Not because that we're going to receive judgment. I don't want you to have that kind of idea. But just afraid to sin because of the effect on our relationship together. And let's pray this morning. Thank you. Let's pray over our community. Let's seek the Lord's face and let's pray for our friends and family members that are battling disease, cancer. And let's pray for God to just move upon them and release God's healing word over their lives. Community that's battling cancer, illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for spiritual and physical healing. Community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. For our community that's looking for work, let's pray for God's provision. Focus. Let's go to our community focus and let's pray for Andrew today. Let's pray for salvation for a mother and sister. Pray for a deeper intimacy with God and opening of a career opportunity that best uses his gifts and talents. So let's pray for Andrew Lee. Thank you. Let's pray for Joyce Howe. Pray for her San Francisco stint, for a strong church community and close fellowship, and be a part of building His kingdom in San Francisco. Pray for family, friends, and relationships, for blessings and true breakthroughs this year beyond what she can hope for or imagine. I pray for a career in ministry, more favor, clarity in her career, and for God to use her more in her current and future ministries. So let's lift up Joyce. For Connie Chu, let's pray for salvation of brothers, sisters, nieces, and nephews. Pray for a complete, miraculous physical healing of her father, that he feels the father's love and mercy. And pray for God's favor and guidance in her career and relationships, to be able to hear and follow him one day at a time. Well, let's pray for Connie. Continue to pray for Christina. She's been having a bit of a difficult time sleeping, and so let's just cover her rest. And because she's been in bed for so long, her hip is also starting to hurt, so let's ask for God's healing. They have quite an important exam either today or tomorrow, and pray that the result is very positive, so she could be released very soon. Her prayer is that she would be able to come to church on Friday when we break our fast. And so let's pray that God would accomplish that at least. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. Yeah, we thank you again for the reminder, Lord, that you are a holy God. And when we come before you, Lord, we should come with that same kind of reverence, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that you would just move in our hearts, Lord, that always, Lord, that there would always be a sense of the holy, Lord, around us, pertaining to you, to relationships, to the church, to leaders in the church. And so we thank you, God. Lord, change our hearts, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray.